Honey, I'm going out. I'll be back in a couple hours.
You play Farmville and call yourself a gamer.
You said awesome, and I said I hate it.
Okay, so here we go. This is where the extended knowledge comes in.
Don't mind me. I'm just staring at a wall somewhere.
Can anyone afford Benedict Cumberbatch?
That's surprising.
I don't think a human could make those sounds.
Yeah, well, you can do it, though, can't you?
Yeah, I get it.
Hi, I'm Dean.
And I'm Deadpool.
Hey!
That was right? Clever.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say Paid Wilson or something like that, but...
Damn,
that was... Nah, Deadpool. That worked.
Yeah, cheers.
That works well.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Anyways, and I'm Jason. Welcome to Nerds Before Birds, the podcast where you'll find reviews, rankings, and general discussion on all things pop culture. This week, we're having a look at Deadpool 2, which has been out for a while, but we thought we'd revisit it a little bit anyways, and I finally got to see it.
Mm-hmm.
It is directed by David Leitch. I don't... Yeah, Leitch. Let's go with that. One of the guys that killed the dog in John Wick, as we are reminded in the opening credits. If you've seen the first one, you know what to expect. Crude humor, overly violent, fourth wall breaking fun. Huh. Does it soar like an eagle, or is it simply flipping the bird? Dean, what did you think of this movie?
First of all, there is a lot more in this movie than the first one.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like you're kind of like, you know, it's a bit of an understatement. There's actually story in this one.
That's
and
true.
And because of that, it soars like an eagle.
Yeah.
For me, I loved it. I thought it was a stronger movie than the first one. And I think it's just like the balance of comedy and, you know, story, like character beats really played really well.
Yeah, right.
I was not expecting it to be as emotional as it was. Anyway. That's
true.
My opinion.
Yeah, fair enough. Mm-hmm. What about you, Paul? What did you think of this movie?
Yeah, I thought it soared like X-Force.
Hey.
The second time.
If you've seen this movie, anyways.
Spoilers.
I liked it. I thought it was good. I think if a movie like Deadpool at the beginning can say, this isn't your regular movie, this is actually a family film, and you come out of that movie thinking, yeah, it absolutely was, then that's hats off right there.
What?
Very good movie.
Is it a family movie? Like, how is it a family movie?
It's he says that like at the end. In the first one. It's actually a family movie. It's about family.
You know,
family.
In the first one, like, yeah,
oh,
it's
about
family. It's not a family movie.
Geez, that's
it's
what he says.
It's definitely not a family movie.
He
but
says
anyways.
That. You're missing the joke.
Yeah. I get the joke. I get it. I just, I see how it's like. Anyway, I feel like that was the same joke in the first one when he's got like the guy up and he's like got the two swords through him and it pauses and it's doing the really romantic sort of shot. Yes. And he says the line, you're thinking right now, like, or your girlfriend's thinking right now, I thought this was a superhero movie or whatever, but he's just got a guy like a kebab.
Shish kebab
up in the
guy.
Air kind of thing. Shish kebab the guy.
Mm.
I remember thinking, I took my wife to watch this movie, like Deadpool 1, and she was like, what the hell is this movie? Like, what have you dragged me to?
Oh,
and I was
goodness.
Like, oh. Okay, so you're not liking this kind of thing. So I remember that for this second one, and I was like, I'm definitely gonna watch this movie on my own. I'm not gonna watch it with my wife because she's gonna hate it.
Yeah,
and sure enough, I reckon she would hate it because it's so violent. But in some ways, I don't think it's as bad.
Yeah, I don't think it's that bad either.
In some ways, because it's mainly just violence. And like a lot of like there's a lot of really crude jokes and there's a few times I think they do go a little bit too far. But we'll get into that a little bit later. Overall, I liked it more than the first movie though.
Definitely.
And yeah, I think it's a part of it is because the story is better. And I was concerned when they changed directors because I really liked the director of the first one.
Yep.
Because he was like, what's his name? Tim. Man, Tim
Miller?
What's his name? Do you know his?
Is it Tim Miller?
Tim Miller, yeah. Yes. Tim Miller. Yeah. So he heads up Blur Studios and they do a lot of the game trailers and things like that. Like there's some amazing stuff that comes out of Blur Studios.
Yeah.
And he also does a lot of David Fincher's like titles. Especially like the most famous one is The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. They did opening title sequence from that. And he's a very talented guy. And when I heard that he wasn't coming back for the sequel, I was like, oh, this is concerning because I really liked the first one and I thought he did a great job. And he really works well in that sort of irreverent humor and really plays on like the fourth wall breaking and the just pushing those barriers. And then coming into this, I was like, how's it going to play when you have the guy that's primarily known for stunts? So you know the action's going to be good. And then you get into it and he does everything really well. Like it's a really well-made movie.
Mm.
And like I was surprised, but pleasantly surprised. And I think it is a better movie than the first one. But yeah,
the balance is better, I think.
Yeah.
That's the key.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I don't really want to go into spoilers yet. And it's kind of hard not to because there are pretty much spoilers as soon as the movie starts, right?
Pretty much.
I love the synopsis. I think it was like on IMDb or somewhere like that. It's like the sequel to the second one, to the first one. And I was I love that. That's just all they put out there. Like their marketing is brilliant once again.
Yeah.
Like how good is it? Like just all the stuff. Like is there some really cool marketing stuff that you've seen them do for this movie?
There's some awesome things. They did like one, they did like a VHS style cover re-release of the DVD. They had Deadpool in a bunch of other Marvel DVD covers as well.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, that was like so good.
Century Fox ones. Yeah.
It was cool. I was like, okay, I like this.
You got to think that's a pretty expensive marketing ploy as well. When you think about it.
Oh, yeah, it's massive.
Yeah.
There was
re-release.
Someone on Reddit put up a poster. They were like, we didn't get a Deadpool 2 poster for the cinema that I work at. So like I made one from another poster. And even that, like that's how you know they've marketed this movie well. Even someone's like very kind of crap Deadpool remake poster looked like an actual Deadpool poster. Like it would have worked so well.
Love it.
It was great.
Yeah.
Well, you also had Ryan Reynolds in one of the weirdest and funniest marketing ploys ever was on that Japanese, or was it like South Korean talent show, came on stage in the unicorn onesie. And then pulled a mask off and it was Ryan Reynolds and he was there promoting the movie. Check it out. It's hilarious. And it goes back to the unicorn joke in the first one. So good.
No way.
Yeah. Because like, it was just like...
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Hilarious.
That's creepy.
So funny. Yeah. So he was like... Ryan Reynolds just did some weird things for the promotion of this movie.
He's got to be loving it.
Oh, yeah.
He's really committed to it, isn't he? Like, he's really committed to this character.
He showed up randomly in one of Hugh Jackman's tweets or, like, you know, Instagram videos. Just in the background, dressed up as Deadpool. That kind of stuff is awesome.
I think he's like... It's like when... Robert Downey Jr. got cast as Tony Stark and he like, it was his kind of welcome back to Hollywood and he just sort of played that role.
Mm-hmm.
What? Why are you laughing?
I'm sorry. I'm looking up the unicorn. Oh, okay.
It's so good. So good. Anyone listening to this podcast who hasn't seen the unicorn thing with Ryan Reynolds. Wait, is it Korea?
I had to look it up. Oh, it is Korean, yeah. And it's on like a show, kind of like
Korean Idol, basically.
South Korea's King of Masked Singer. So seeing any like tomorrow, from any,
everyone pause this podcast and watch it and then come back. Cause it's gold.
Oh, that is so awesome. Funny.
Yeah.
But like,
that is so funny. Sorry. Yeah. I just had to see it. Not knowing what it was. I just wanted to know what it was.
Yeah. And fair enough.
Yeah. I suppose that goes into the whole marketing is really good for this.
Mm-hmm.
But what were you saying, Paul?
Well, even just like, So you know how he got cast as Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr. got cast as that, and like he just kind of had that air about him. Yeah. Like he'd come onto the stage for the panels and be like, hey, I'm the best. I feel like it's a similar kind of thing that's happening with Ryan Reynolds, where it's like, it's basically just a cruder version of him.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he just seems, it's easy to play a role when it's kind of just you, which I think is why he's everywhere. Like he's in the suit, he's doing interviews in the suit, he's just being Deadpool everywhere because it's fun.
Yeah, and
why
he's,
would you
and
not want to do that?
He's just being himself. Yeah. Or, yeah, like pushing those boundaries and stuff in a lot of ways.
Like a no holds barred.
Yeah.
It's great.
He's owning the character.
Yeah.
It's to the point where you can no longer separate the two. Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool. Deadpool is Ryan Reynolds. And it was like that even before Ryan Reynolds was cast as Deadpool. Because I think there's a line in a comic book where someone asks Deadpool what he looks like under the mask, and he goes, oh, I'm like, he says some crude joke about looking like a cross between Ryan Reynolds and a Shih Tzu or something.
Oh, really?
And Ryan Reynolds read that years ago and goes, holy crap, even Deadpool wants me to play him. And then he got cast in the Wolverine movie, which we don't talk about. And later on,
even they don't talk about it.
Yeah. Well, they do address it a little bit in this.
So funny. I love that bit.
But anyways, before we get into spoilers, so Soar Like an Eagle, you all think it's Soar Like an Eagle. I liked it too, so I think because there are a lot of spoilers in this, we really need to sort of dive in. So if you haven't seen this movie and you don't want to have anything spoiled for you, then get out now. But otherwise, if you've seen this movie and you're happy to keep listening, hopefully you are happy to keep listening, stick around because we're going to go into spoiler territory and we're going to start it off in 3, 2, 1. They killed Vanessa.
What?
What did you guys think? What?
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 I missed it.
Hang on.
Jeez.
Yeah. And they killed her off and I was like, holy, she was not like, you know, the whole movie revolved around her in the last one. Yeah. And then all of a sudden she's just gone.
Dead.
What did you think of that when that first happened? Like, Dean, how did you react to that?
So shocked. I was like, what the hell? Because I felt, okay, the first movie was all about her.
Yeah.
We're going to pursue that. I didn't even think for a second. I think it's also testament to the marketing that they marketed the crap out of this movie without giving anything away.
That's true.
It was so good.
Yeah.
So no one knew that was going to happen.
Not at all.
But then after the credits, the opening credits is that thing that kind of gives you that chance to accept it.
Yeah.
It's making jokes about it, like, holy crap, did they just kill her off in the credits?
Did they just do that? And I was actually just thinking that when that came up.
Yeah.
And it was almost like I felt like they were reading my mind. I was like, did they just kill her off?
Yes.
Like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yes.
Like, I was like in disbelief in that moment. But what about you, Paul? How did you feel when they killed her off? And did you like it? That character moment. I mean, like, not killing her off, but, you know.
I thought it was good. It was like,
for the character,
he goes through the whole, like you said, Dean, it's like the first movie is they have such a great relationship. Then he like gets Deadpooled and then he's kind of like, he's going to lose her, but he still saves her. And it's great. And I think I was semi expecting it when they started going down the route of let's make a family thing.
Good. Yeah, true.
But that's, it was true. Still sad, and it's still, and I was really disappointed that he let that last guy get away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, just kill him. Go for it. Wreck this guy.
Oh, that, how brutal is that kill at the end where he just jumps out the window?
Wait.
And then.
Does he kill? Oh, he throws him in front
does.
Of the.
Yeah, no,
he's right. I forgot about that.
They both go into the bus together.
Yeah. He gives him a hug and then dies.
Yeah,
because
you think he's going to like, it's so weird because he's hugging him and then you're like, oh, okay, it's like a dual moment.
Yeah.
He's going to take them both out.
That right there, I feel, is the turning point of the whole movie. And it's like the movie saying, okay, what we've seen so far, this is just like, it's been a repeat of what we saw in the first one. Now we're taking the emotions up a bit. Yeah. And we'll be just as funny, but we'll also be super serious as well with this.
Yeah.
And it somehow like played really well.
Yeah.
Because he keeps even having those moments where he like he's about to die, mm-hmm. and every time Vanessa's like, it's not your time, and he just keeps getting pulled back.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like you can see he's battling with this, and he like that's probably why he dies and gets like brutally injured so much in this movie, is because he doesn't care.
Yeah.
True.
He just wants to die. He wants to be with his wife.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it actually works really well for it. And I think it actually makes the movie better because of it, because of that moment. But then as soon as they introduced Cable, I was like, oh, he's going to use time travel and fix it. Yeah.
Really?
Then, as soon as time travel was introduced into this, I was like, okay, that's how he's going to get Vanessa back. And by the end of this movie, we're not going to matter. It's not going to matter the whole death in the beginning. But
I didn't pick it.
You didn't pick that? As soon as,
No, well,
I was like, I was not buying into it.
Just because they were making such a big deal of the whole, like, you know, only one way, I'm only able to use it once kind of deal.
Yeah. Mm.
And so then when they used it once, then it's like, that's it. That's not
well, a, yeah, in saying that, like,
scapegoat
anymore. As I say, that they did introduce that later on, but as soon as I seen time travel with Cable like the very first time, I was like, okay, Vanessa's not gonna stay dead. But then when they did introduce that, oh, it only works once or whatever, you know, when he even sort of looks at the camera and goes, that's a convenient,
that's lazy writing,
contrived. Yeah, lazy writing.
Yeah,
yeah. So I kind of appreciated that in a weird way because I was like, okay, they're not going to have a complete cop-out.
Yeah.
But then it gets to the end credits where you have the whole post-credits that's like rewriting history as well as getting Vanessa back. Do you think that because that goes into like on a, like the ludicrous sort of jokes and everything, do you think that that's something for Deadpool 3, if we ever get one, where she will just not be dead? Or do you think that was just like, is that still part of the movie?
All the retconning at the end.
She's alive.
Yeah, the retconning in the end.
She's officially alive.
She's officially alive.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, really?
They officially have retconned her.
I love that.
But I have a theory of where you could go with number 3 and make that a really cool jumping off point, that actually him bringing her back and doing all that stuff has effed up timelines so much that it's actually like he needs to go back and it's like this whole internal conflict.
Oh, does he kill her?
Or something like that. Like, or like she's like, no, I need to stay dead.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of thing. Like, you know, I'm not sure if it's too dark for a Deadpool movie, but.
That's pretty dark.
Yeah. It is pretty dark, but.
Even for Deadpool, that's dark stuff.
Yeah.
It's pretty. I think they could. I'd be interested in watching a movie like that.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, this timeline stuff up is, you know.
How do you feel with Disney acquiring Fox, 20th Century Fox? How do you feel about the future of Deadpool now that that's a thing? And like, you know, X-Men looks like they're going to be coming into the MCU eventually. And all that kind of leaves, in my mind, it leaves Deadpool in this sort of purgatory limbo kind of area where it could go either way. But what do you see a future for Deadpool 3? Paul, do you see it happening?
I hope so. Yeah. I hope the financial cash cow is enough for Disney to think, let's just keep this franchise rolling. I hope they don't nerf it. And I hope they don't like, oh, it's under Disney now, so we're going to have to sort of tame it down a little bit. Stuff that. I really hope it doesn't fall to that criticism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But man, I'd love it. I think even now that they're part of Disney, there's a potential for like, there's a lot of interactions between Deadpool and other Marvel characters, and I'd love to see that a lot more. Like, you know, Spider-Man just pops up quickly and you're like, know, we don't kill people, Wade. It's like, oh, okay, we unalive them or something. Which is like from an actual comic. I'm like, I want that. That'd be fantastic.
That'd be cool because
I think I feel like that's never going to happen.
No.
not in our lifetime. No, I feel like, you know, in 50 years' time when they've run out of ideas, that's when they'll be like, yeah, let's put them together kind of thing. And they'll be the buddy cop sort of comedy thing. But like you've seen it with Venom, they're apparently not going to have Spider-Man appear in Venom, so
we've argued about this before. I don't think it's gonna work.
Yeah and Spider-Man is a Sony thing. He's still not under Disney.
What do you think of Venom being PG?
I really don't understand that, especially because in the last 2 years we've had two Deadpools and a Logan that have proven that R-rated superhero films are great. You know, can be great in their own merits. Logan and Deadpool are very different beasts, but they're both great and they're both R-rated.
Yeah.
And for different reasons. I read an interesting article about how Logan and Deadpool 2 are a lot more connected than what we think they are. Like, there's obviously all the jokes, and especially at the start,
the reference at the very beginning.
But,
so many.
Yeah. They're actually kind of like companion pieces in a way. They kind of deal with very similar things. The two depressed, healing superheroes are like, immortal heroes
that want to die.
Yeah. They're both suicidal, really. And they can't die. Like, that's their biggest thing. And then also, like, they have the kid factor. The kid comes into it, and they're forced into this protector kind of like role.
Yeah,
so actually, there's a lot of comparisons that you don't really notice until, you think about it.
Yeah.
I love that. I really love it. It's cool.
Having their whole team get killed. That's the comparison. But that happens before Logan begins.
True.
Getting into X-Force.
Let's
go there. Because that, honestly, I've watched this movie twice. One time on the train.
Mm-hmm.
And every time the first time I watched it, I was in bed and I had like headphones on, and my wife was like next to me and she was asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm cracking up laughing, like, and trying to hold it in, you know, like when you're trying to be quiet because you're trying to like not disturb anyone from sleeping. And I'm like laughing so hard that she's like, what are you laughing at? She like fully wakes up. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I had to move myself out of the bedroom because I was laughing so hard because that scene, that every time, like, I swear, so that is the funniest thing.
Which bit?
And I love the way, like, the X-Force teaming up and then just being killed, like, really one by one. And, like, you know it's coming. You know it's been built up so well that you know that they're all going to see their demise as this, like, you know, this makeshift X-Men team sort of thing.
The Brad Pitt cameo.
And I loved it. The Brad Pitt cameo, which is fantastic. I mean, you've got Bill Skarsgård, like Pennywise himself in it. You've got
there was
Terry Crews.
Like, hey.
Yeah, it's so good.
There was a bit of cameos. Trivia. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think you're probably going to say the same thing that I am going to say.
The Rob Delaney thing?
No.
There was a bit of... I was really looking at some trivia.
Yeah.
And... Ryan Reynolds, the thing is, Ryan Reynolds, he personally offered Rob Delaney the role of Peter after seeing him in Catastrophe. I was like, that's so funny. Like, you were so good in this movie. Do you want to come and play a no hero power guy in a superhero movie?
That was one of my favorite jokes right at the end with the whole rewriting time.
Just walk away, Peter, brown bear.
Walk away.
Walk away.
It was like so funny, like in that moment, like when all their like powers sort of go against them as well, and like, and all the, like the references, like there's like the subtle build up to it. Is anyone worried about the winds? Is anyone worried about the winds?
Yeah,
and it's like just it's like,
and then he's yelling, he's like, I'm yelling at you, Peter, but I'm really, really proud of you. I'm sorry for yelling at you.
Guy, so good.
The guy who was an alien is an alien. He gets hit by the chopper blades and his blood's like blue.
Yeah.
Turns out he was an alien.
He was an alien.
Yeah.
Man, that was funny.
Oh, so funny. So and funny. Like, yeah. Each time I've watched it, the second time I watched it, I was on the train. And a friend of ours was on there as well, Adam. He was watching me, like, because, like, for whatever reason, there was only a few seats and I was facing him.
Brutal.
Yeah, I know. Brutal. But, like, he was, like, he was not in the same seats as me. He was, like, maybe three or four rows back. And he could see me, though, and he could see me laughing and trying to hold it in. And he's like, what are you watching when we got off the train? And I was like, oh, it's this, like, I'm just watching Deadpool 2. And he's like, is it that funny kind of thing? And I'm like, yeah, it's hilarious. It's so just funny. This one scene. Like, and it's literally, like, each time I've watched it, I watched it two times, I was crying. I was laughing so hard at that scene just because it's just done so well.
Speaking of cameos, did you guys like this movie is so great with cameos?
It's got heaps.
Like, amazing. You got so many. You got the X-Men guys at, like, in that great scene in the mansion. There's two cameos that
Matt Damon and Alan Tudyk.
Did you know Matt Damon was in this movie?
I recognized him, but then I couldn't pick him.
I
didn't know it was him until afterwards, because I was like, I know that person, but I couldn't recognize him.
Paul looks really confused.
Which is insane.
Who was he?
And when Cable arrives, back in time, and there's the two rednecks that are sitting by the trailer.
Yeah.
So one of them is clearly Alan Tudyk.
Yeah.
Clearly. The other one, the big fat guy with the beard, is Matt Damon in massive, like, prosthetics.
Yes.
Wow.
And makeup.
Yeah.
That's,
And he's even credited as Dickie Greenleaf, who is his character from, or like one of the characters from The Talented Mr. Ripley or something like that. It's his character because he becomes, that's a spoiler for if you haven't seen The Talented Mr. Ripley by now, then you're probably not going to see it, but he becomes Mr. Ripley after.
Right.
Killing Mr. Ripley.
Well, there you go. Don't need to see that movie now.
Don't need to see that movie.
But there were people on set that didn't know that Matt Damon was in this movie because they just didn't realize that it was him in that makeup. It was insane. That was just an invisible cameo.
I didn't pick that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the director came out and said,
I didn't pick it, but I I know that voice or something about that person seems really familiar, but I couldn't pick who it was.
Right.
And it wasn't until later on when I looked it up that I realized that it was him, because obviously that's he's credited.
Yeah.
But it's insane to go to all that effort to not be recognized.
I know.
And it kind of seems a little bit pointless. It's kind of like the pointless cameos that you get in some movies. Like Kate Blanchett has one in Hot Fuzz.
It was exactly that, yeah.
Yeah, and it's fully that kind of thing where she's the wife of
Paul looks confused.
Yeah, you look.
Who is she in Hot Fuzz?
She's the wife of Simon Pegg's character that he goes and sees at the crime scene in the very beginning, and she's in the whole she's got the whole mask on and everything.
That was Kate
Peter Jackson's in that movie as well.
Who?
Peter Jackson.
Wait, what?
Has a cameo in that movie?
Oh yes, he was. He's the guy that stabs the Santa Claus, or he is the Santa Claus.
He is Santa Claus. The guy that
he's the Santa Claus
getting stabbed in the hand by a man dressed as Father Christmas.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not getting stabbed. He's stabbing someone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but it kind of seems a bit pointless to put these massive stars, and I think that's kind of why it's so funny.
Yeah.
Especially Brad Pitt as the Vanisher that doesn't actually have any lines of dialogue.
Not at all.
And literally is there for 2 seconds.
Just one shot.
It's probably only a few frames, really.
Blink and you miss it, really.
Yeah, blink and you miss it, literally. And that's why, like, I really, like, I love that. And I love that they cast massive actors just to kill them all off.
So funny.
Like, really
so
brutally. So funny.
And I think Deadpool's at a phase now where, like, if someone comes up to you and says, hey, do you want to have a really funny death in Deadpool? You're like, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of, like, you know, jokes and that and sort of playing things up for laughs and that, which this whole movie does, do you ever feel like they ever go too far with jokes in the movie? Because, I mean, like, the whole thing is pushing boundaries. But did you ever feel like they went too far? Like, did you ever sort of go, oh, that's a bit bad? Like, for you guys, did you ever feel that way?
There was... I don't know, like, I enjoyed this movie immensely, but
yeah, me too.
I think there was at one point, there was just like, I can't remember what it was. It was during, I think, the scene, the initial meeting of Fire Fist.
Yeah.
One of those jokes is like, oh, did that need to be in there?
Yeah.
I don't want to go back and find out what it was because I don't want
to.
But apart from that, like, you know, it's the kind of humor that people expected. Like, if the first one was anything to go by, like, you'd be an idiot to not expect that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. You're going to get offended at some point in this movie.
Oh, definitely.
You're definitely going to have that. But what about you, Paul? Did you ever find a moment when you're like, oh, that's too far? No, really? Yeah.
Not really. No.
Yeah.
Like, I like that kind of humor.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
And I was like, no, this is fine. This is what I expect.
I think,
fair enough.
I think for me, I love the whole movie. I thought it was hilarious. But the moment when he's growing his legs back and he does the whole, what's that movie?
Cruel Intentions kind of thing.
No, it's not Cruel Intentions. It's, Basic Instinct?
Basic Instinct.
It's Basic Instinct. Yep. Yeah. So when he does the whole Basic Instinct thing.
Yeah.
In that moment, I was like, that's too far.
What?
Because he's got like baby legs and it's like really like, I don't know, it's really gross.
It is gross, but
it is really gross. Yeah. And to me, I'm like, I don't know, that was too far for me. That was the only time though in the movie that I was like, oh yeah, I don't really, I'm not on board with that joke. And there's a few jokes that just don't land in general for me. Like I felt like there was a few times when I was like, oh, that's not funny. In more than the first movie.
Really? Okay.
I felt like more of the jokes landed.
Wow.
But for some of the jokes in this movie, I feel like, oh yeah, it's kind of like not as funny or some, it just doesn't, it's sort of like hit and miss every now and again. But overall, like, I think it's a better movie than the first one.
Yeah.
Because there's more of a story, I suppose, than the first one.
Yeah, that's true.
But getting into a little bit of a more serious and sad note, Zazie Beetz, stunt double, Joy Harris died while making the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And she was doing one of the stunts. I'm not quite sure where it was going to be in the scene, but where she was on a motorbike and she'd done it, I think, 4 or 5 times beforehand. Mm-hmm. And then unfortunately on the fifth go, she had an accident and she died.
Yeah.
But, talking about that, like, because there are so many stunts and there is so many CGI effects in this movie, do you ever feel like this is like super serious for such a lighthearted movie?
What a change.
But I know, right?
Change in tone.
Yeah. Do you ever feel like the risks outweigh the reward kind of thing? Did you guys feel like it sort of weighs down the movie a little bit at all when you're watching it?
Do you want to take this, Paul? Or
like, do you mean knowing that there was a death on set?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think I see it as the same factor of, not on the same level, but like you know, an actor passing away when the movie's in post.
Yeah.
So you go and see it, like Paul Walker. Like, you go see it because, like, this is what they wanted to do. This is their life. This is their legacy. Let's go and see it. Yeah. And I think if you're in the stunt community, like, that's what you want to do. You don't wake up and, you know, do a few classes and you're a stuntman. Like, it takes a while. There's a grind. So you're doing it for the love. But I think it's even more like it's honoring that stunt double to see the movie, to keep doing those stunts, because it's like, that's why they're there. They're there for the realism, for the awesomeness.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, that's their legacy, man.
Yeah.
It creates another reason for the rest of the crew to muster together and finish the film.
Totally. Then,
you know, for that person. Now, I do know that this woman, this stunt, like, wasn't necessarily a stunt woman.
She was actually a professional. It was her first film.
Yeah.
And
she was a bike racer,
professional racer beforehand. And quite good from my understanding as well, like in that field. She was like first or second in the world for women's racing.
Yeah.
So like she was like really, really good. It's someone that knew how to handle a bike. So in that way, I feel like it is more of a freak accident.
It is more of a shock really as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thing that, you know, it can still happen to
someone that's really capable.
And even like the small behind the scenes you see of stunts, like before the actual stunt, there is so much work.
Oh, yeah.
There's planning, there's rigging, they walk it through, they talk it through. Mm-hmm. The amount of dry runs they'll do before they actually get down to do it is insane.
Yeah.
Whether or not that was the case on the day, but still.
Yeah, the director is a stunt man himself.
That's true.
My understanding. Yes. So it's not like he's going to jump into this stupidly, and he's not going to take risks, obviously. So I think they obviously didn't, like, I think it just would have been a freak accident, and it's unfortunate. But
personally, going back to your original question, Jason, I personally will always prefer the practical stunts over a CG element kind of thing. It definitely makes it more real, and there's, you know, you can respect it a bit more. There's like somebody's actually gone and done this. Somebody's actually, you know, jumped off this building, and it feels real. It makes it more engaging to watch, but there is that danger involved. And the key is that if there's any doubt in your mind that you're going to, you know, do something and do it safely and, you know, get out the other end completely fine, you don't do it.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And I'm sure that that was the mindset on this film, especially because, like, the whole, like, you know, the amount of stunt experience for the director and everyone else on board, that it was just a very freak accident that no one could foresee. I feel like it would have been tougher for the whole crew. I feel like I kind of wonder how the rest of the crew and cast went on the rest of that shooting. Like, that would have been a tough burden to carry.
Yeah, to show up to work every day kind of thing. But I suppose it could happen in any environment, but it just happens that this is a public space. So you're producing something that the public is going to watch. So it is scrutinized way more thoroughly than if someone had have died in a workplace accident, because it's a workplace accident, really.
Yeah.
And they happen all the time. It's just they're not in the public spectrum where people are going to actually watch those things. So I suppose that's probably why I, as like a viewer, kind of question myself whether it's worth doing the stunts. And I do sort of sit on the same side as you, Dean, where you like to see something that's real and tangible on screen, that's not just CGI related and it's something physical that's going on, because CGI kind of detracts from the stunts themselves. To have something so horribly go wrong, it kind of makes me question that is the spectacle worth it?
Yeah. Totally true.
And but I suppose it's like anything. Anyways, moving on to something a little bit more lighthearted and away from something so dark. Josh Brolin, Cable, and Thanos. Now, he is two MC characters. well, Marvel Cinematic characters, I'm going to call them, not Marvel Cinematic Universe characters. What did you guys think of him as Cable?
He was good.
And do you know the comics? Like, were you fans of the comics?
Not a whole lot.
I am.
I've read a little. Oh, yeah, you go. Go ahead.
Deadpool and Cable is one of the, like, small handful of Marvel comics that I've read.
Yeah, right.
And, yeah, I absolutely love the team up with them. I think having them together in a movie was the only logical step for a sequel for a Deadpool film, because you'd talk to anyone in the comic, you know, world, and they'll say Deadpool needs to have Cable to work as well as he does. You have to have that polar opposite kind of buddy cop collaboration.
Did Cable always sort of fourth wall break as well? Like, was he always like that? Because he kind of does have a few moments where he breaks the fourth wall as well.
When he teams up with Deadpool in the comics, a little bit more, but he has such a weird backstory, man.
Yeah.
Before the Deadpool and Cable comics came about. Do you know much about Cable at all?
No, not really. No. Other than the movie, like, I honestly came into this movie not knowing much about Cable at all, and I was interested to see how he would develop as a character, because I was like, is he the bad guy? Does he become the good guy? And in a lot of ways, there's no real bad guy in this movie, if you really think about it. Like, there's no overshadowing antagonist in the movie, and the way that it kind of develops, there's less and less. I mean, there are the heads of the school that Julian Dennison's Firefist character is a part of, but ultimately they're kind of just almost like subplots that drive the main characters. They're not so much the main antagonist.
That's true.
But yeah, I was interested to see how he comes into things, like how Cable comes in as a character, whether he was the main antagonist, whether he was the villain, and what happens with him, kind of thing. So yeah, I liked it. I liked the way that he switched. But you, Paul, you didn't know him either?
Not a whole lot. Yeah? Like, I've heard the name. Deadpool wasn't really a series that I visited much.
Yeah.
Like, after Deadpool 1, I started reading it a little bit, but kind of dropped off, as you do with comics from time to time. So, yeah, I don't know. I was kind of coming into this same as you, just like, I'm not too pretty sure fresh. Who this guy is, but I know he is an established villain ally character.
Yeah.
And I thought he'd be good. Yeah.
As I said before, like, Cable has a really weird backstory. Like, I'm not 100% sure if he starts out as a bad guy in the comics when you're first introduced to him, but the only thing that they kept from his character was, like, you know, the serious tough guy attitude and the fact that he comes back in time. In the comics, he comes back and warns the X-Men. And then later on, you find out that he's actually Scott Summers, and, like, he's Cyclops' son.
That's right. Yeah.
In the comics.
Yeah. Cyclops
and Phoenix. And Jean Grey. He is a Summers kid. And
I did see that, actually. I did look it up afterwards because I was interested a bit more in him as a character, which is pretty cool that he ties into the X-Men.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool.
It made it really interesting because it was like you're introduced to this Cable character. But previous, like, decades earlier in the comics, like, printed, you were introduced to the Summers kids. And it might not have been decades earlier, but it was, like, earlier. And then all of a sudden you realize, oh, we've met Cable before, ages ago.
Yeah, right.
That's cool.
It's really cool.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that too.
That's nifty.
Anyway, they didn't go into that in this movie. I'm not sure if they ever will with the continuities of things, but hey, like, I mean, technically, Cable's dad was in this movie as well, in that brief cameo, if you think about that.
Yeah. Did you find that, so their whole retconning at the end and rewriting history, rewriting Wolverine origins, which I really like that, but then they had that scene where Green Lantern, he's reading the script and he kills himself, and I was like, this is so weird.
So
and
meta.
Kind of like so morbid good. And what? Really bizarre in a like a really weird way. Hey, like it's hilarious, but it's like really strange when you think about it.
Yeah.
Like the idea of him killing another version of him. Yeah, it's just, yeah, my head doesn't wrap around it.
I think you're looking way too far into it for a Deadpool movie.
Maybe.
It's Deadpool, yeah, man.
Maybe I am.
It's funny.
Because I was just, like,
it's a multiverse, Jason. It's a multiverse.
Yeah.
So he went
Completely. Yeah. But I love the fact that they bring him into Wolverine Origins and he just like kills the other version of Deadpool.
Oh, hey, Logan. Yeah, just cleaning up the timelines.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
Good.
Even the whole line from himself is like, here we go, pal. Welcome to the big leagues.
Yes. Oh, man.
That was awesome.
But anyways,
Ryan Reynolds regrets that decision so much that he's willing to kill himself. That's pretty morbid.
Yeah,
like name another actor who would do that.
It is morbid. It is really morbid, though. Yeah. It's like when you think about it. What do you think of Zazie Beetz as Domino? Do you have you seen her in anything before? Like, is this something that like is this the first movie you've seen her in?
Zazie Beetz or Domino?
Yeah.
Who?
Zazie Beetz. No, I'm not Domino. Just,
knowingly, that's the first I've seen of her.
Yeah.
yeah.
Disclaimer.
Well, I'm having a look now.
Apparently, she was in Geostorm, but I don't remember her in Geostorm. That's a terrific movie. That is completely memorable.
Hang on. Here's an interesting thing, though. It's saying it's announced, but apparently there's going to be an X-Force movie.
Yeah.
That's right. Instead of a Deadpool 3,
X-Force.
Yeah, right.
Apparently.
Cool.
And Drew Goddard is directing, which is amazing.
He did that movie that I like.
He did Cabin in the Woods, which you probably loved.
He did The Martian.
Did you watch that movie?
He was a producer on The Martian. And he was a producer on the Daredevil series for Netflix, not the crap one.
Woo!
And The Good Place. Wow, I like this guy.
What has he directed?
Drew Goddard is actually a really good director. And I'm interested to see Bad Times at the El Royale. I think that'll be pretty good. The trailers and that look really good for that. But him as a X-Force director would be pretty awesome. It's been announced, but...
Yeah,
it hasn't been updated for quite some time, so I'm wondering whether that'll actually happen.
Do you reckon then? So you know, with filmmakers, with directors, and with like massive projects like blockbusters like this, you'd notice like studios tend to give a director a smaller film to like sort of like test them.
Yeah.
And then before giving them the keys to like the bigger thing, do you reckon that's what's happening right now with Bad Times at El Royale? Like Fox want to see what he does with it.
Like Cabin in the Woods is done so really well.
Maybe they want to know what he's like with an ensemble piece before giving him an X-Force, possibly.
But Cabin in the Woods is kind of an ensemble piece.
I haven't seen it.
Have you seen Cabin in the Woods?
I haven't, so I'm just assuming that it's a horror film. Yeah. Like,
it is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, you should watch that movie. It is one of the best, like, subversive horror films that I've ever seen in the way that it plays on all the tropes of a horror film, kind of like Scream does.
Okay.
And almost, it's almost a comedy in the way of what it does. I don't want to give too much away if you're going to watch it, because it's quite a decent movie, and it is like just the title alone doesn't do it justice.
Is there a cabin? It's
almost, there is a cabin and there is a cabin in the woods.
Is the cabin in the woods?
That is,
whoa,
literally. Yeah.
I know we can call it.
It might not quite be in the woods though.
What?
As woody as you suppose it is. I don't want to give too much away for that movie, because it is a really good movie. And I mean, it has been out for quite some time now, but it's got a lot of great things going for it. And it does such a great job with the horror genre. And just playing with it. Like, I mean, I think Joss Whedon was a writer on it as well.
Right.
Or he produced it. And so it's got a lot of his quirk and charm in it as well, like with the comedy in it, because it is quite a funny movie.
The fact that you have been this cryptic with it,
yeah,
makes me curious.
You should watch this movie. Like, it is a really good movie. It is one of the better movies in the horror comedy sort of side of things. Yeah. I don't want to give anything away because it is such a good movie and it really relies. Don't watch the trailers. The trailers actually give away too much.
Okay.
But if you have seen the trailer, there is still plenty to watch.
Okay.
Like, plenty of stuff to.
So moving on, watch Cabin in the Woods. There we go. Let's
keep
going.
Do you want to watch it with me, Paul?
Yeah, Paul. Maybe you could watch it with him.
Yep, I will. What else we got? Yeah,
sweet, let's do it.
I actually think you wouldn't mind Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah, Aaron keeps saying I should watch it.
Yeah, you really should.
Yep.
Because it's not really that scary. It's almost like
it's fine. Yeah, we can talk about it in another podcast.
Yeah.
We can move on from the fine. Cabin in the Woods.
What were we talking about?
My God, I forget.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't remember.
I think we're pretty much we're pretty much ready to wrap this one up. Yeah.
This was the Cabin in the Woods podcast, right?
Yeah, it was. I think it was.
Yeah. What else we got?
Support Patreon.
Do we like Fire Fist? We cool with him?
We're
good with this? Cool. What else we got?
Cool. Paul's going to watch The Conjuring if we get to 50 Patreons.
Yep.
Are you actually like fully wrapping this up right now?
Yeah. I was. Oh. Yeah, I'm out of points, actually, to be honest. I've been out of points for quite some time.
We've just been talking.
That's why we're talking about Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah, that's why we're talking about Cabin in the Woods. I'm just stalling blind time.
Why? But,
yeah, I mean, we've already been going for an hour, so it's
we were like, we'll keep this one to about 45, yeah?
Yeah.
But no, we're just like, anyways, we'll just keep stretching it out for no reason.
Yeah.
Just do that instead, because fun.
I was trying to convince you guys to watch Cabin in the Woods without giving away anything about Cabin in the Woods. Yeah. It's really hard to not give away anything about Cabin in the Woods.
Well, let's go back, because I do have something else to say about Deadpool.
Because this is the Cabin in the Woods podcast. It's the Cabin in the Woods podcast.
Oh my goodness.
Now I'm angry again.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah,
sweet. We're fine. Paul's ready for another podcast. Let's do Cabin in the Woods straight after this.
Yeah, let's do Cabin in the Woods next week. Yeah.
A dramatic retelling of Cabin in the Woods by Jason.
One more point about Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
Yep.
That I think it actually plays into the strength of the film and why it's a better movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talked about the directors of Deadpool 1 and kind of briefly about Deadpool 2, the fact that these two directors come from very different backgrounds in the industry. One's a VFX guy, one's a stuntman, and you kind of can see that kind of strength in either of these movies where I feel like the stunts in Deadpool 2 were far superior.
Oh, yeah, they were, for sure.
The first one.
And just the action pieces themselves were just really well done.
Yeah, definitely.
Like,
I feel like they felt a little bit more brutal, as like, you know, surprising as that is in a Deadpool movie. And they were just a little bit more clever, I think.
Yeah.
Definitely. Especially with the introduction of Domino and her powers.
Oh.
That definitely played in well with this.
Man. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Like the idea that like her power is just good luck.
Yeah.
Like it's.
That's not a power.
It's fantastic.
That's. Yeah. It's so good.
But it is. But it isn't.
It is.
Yeah.
But it isn't.
So good. I'm just going to stop you there with it isn't.
It's a bit of more trivia about this exact scene. He says that it must have been the idea of an artist who can't even draw feet.
The
co-creator, Rob, was it Layfield, is mocked for and criticized for avoiding drawing characters' feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think is
Fantastic. He's got, and have you seen some of the images of the feet?
Like, are they bad?
I looked them up afterwards. They're like terrible. It's like the proportions are really weird. It's kind of like, it's kind of like you're always looking down on the feet kind of thing. They're never like at eye level. So it's like they get smaller and smaller as they go down. So the proportions are sort of like almost like the, yeah, it's really bizarre.
I'm looking at him now.
Yeah. Are you looking at it?
Wow. He can't do feet.
Yeah.
He covers them in smoke or something. He's always like trying to get them in out the of the water, frame.
Or it's like knee up. Yeah, wow. Like, so look, good. In all honesty, I can't do feet. I can't draw.
I can't draw either. But, so,
but neither can he, apparently.
Yeah. That's great. But, you know, he's a successful comic book artist.
This is true. And,
yeah. Yeah.
And we do a podcast for like eight people.
Yeah, we've got a podcast for, yeah. Hey, that's successful.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, to our
hey, guys.
One, we're we'll the same.
Two fans that
we got a podcast and we can't do Twitter. So,
hey, mum. Yeah. I'll probably be home for dinner next Tuesday. What do you guys think? I feel like we skipped over it, but the Celine Dion song at the beginning,
man, I remember when they released that song.
How good
is that? So when they released the song, I was like, how the hell is this song going to fit into a Deadpool movie? Because the song is such a like
power ballad
throwback to like, yeah. The power
like
ballads
Bond.
And it's fully like a Bond sequence in the beginning. Yeah. And I was like, this is just not going to fit. But then they killed off Vanessa and I was like, oh, it fits. Like, you're just going to kill off a person and it works.
Because I was trying to figure out if they named whichever company did that opening, that whole scene. Because it was so James Bondy.
It really was.
I love it. It felt very like Skyfall.
Bondy. Yeah.
Yes,
definitely.
It felt like, yeah, well, in the beginning of Skyfall. And I think it's awesome that they brought Celine Dion in.
Amazing.
For that. Like, it's just
another Canadian.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. There was a few Canadian jokes in there, wasn't there?
A lot of Canadian
for
jokes.
This. Yeah, which is awesome.
A lot of Australian
all right,
jokes.
I think that's about all we've got time for.
Yeah.
But let's give it, what do we have for birds? What did you guys think of the bird ranking on this one? Is it 3, 4, 5?
I think 4. I'd give it 4 out of 4birds.
Yeah.
I agree.
What about you?
I'm up there on the 4 bandwagon as well. Definitely 4 bird. Also,
I think I'll join you on the 4 bandwagon.
Great.
I think we'll all have 4 for this one. But yeah, what were you going to say, Dan?
I just want to say I'm so glad you have finally watched Deadpool 2. It has been
finally
torturous trying to not talk about this movie, especially because like you can't really say anything about this movie without giving away a spoiler about anything.
Right.
And so,
yeah, because there's
thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for getting off your ass and watching this movie.
Yeah.
Getting off your ass, putting it into the DVD player, getting back on your ass.
And now all you have to do to repay me with that is watch Cabin in the Woods.
Ah, there you go. God.
I mean, you're only like 6 years away from that.
Oh, yeah.
It's only taken you 6 years to get to here. So, yeah.
Perfect. Yeah.
Think about how I feel trying to hold that back.
For 6 years.
It's really not that hard.
It's eating you up inside.
Oh, yeah. Completely eating me up inside. Yeah. So that pretty much brings us to the end of this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you like this show and you want to support the show, you can visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/nerdsbeforebirds. And if you can't,
Stop doing that.
You're like miming the words while I say them. If you can't support the show financially, feel free to support us in another way by subscribing or following us on... Stop it. If you could only see what Paul's face is doing right now. His face is like a little puppet boy and he's like mimicking everything that I'm just not going to look at you. I can't look at you right now while I'm doing this. This is just ridiculous.
Paul,
like, what is going on with your face?
People aren't going to pay us.
Control your face.
They don't know how to support us on Patreon because of you.
Yeah. You're ruining everything. Yes, we can read your lips right now. Yeah.
You're the reason why we're not making a profit.
Yes. Yeah. This is why it costs money to make this podcast, Paul.
We're wasting tape, waffling on. No, sorry.
Anyways, so if you want to support the show on Patreon, feel free to visit our Patreon page.
Support us on Patreon. That's it. Just do that. Man. Please.
Man, people are going to be so annoyed at you right now.
What?
And it's not me they're going to be annoyed at because I'm losing it. They're going to be annoyed at you because of your stupid face doing this right now.
I can't believe you think they're still here.
Yeah, well, I'd be surprised.
After 20 right minutes of bloody cabin in the woods. I'm not even here.
Yeah.
You're on Reddit.
You left a miming video for us to watch. anyways, so visit our page at patreon.com/nerdsbeforebirds and you can contribute any amount starting at $1 a month and that just helps us to keep the lights on. Oh man, I can't look at you right
now. I'm sorry, I'll stop.
Yeah, if you can't support us that way, just just subscribe. We've got Facebook and Instagram.
We have Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah,
we have Facebook before birds on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah. That's the ones. But don't worry about Twitter because nobody's manning that. Hey, Paul.
No one follows me on Twitter. Paul.
What do you even do on this podcast?
I mock you.
Yeah.
And mimic.
Yeah, exactly. You just mimic me, like silently mimicking me right now. Anyways, we actually do man the Facebook page. So feel free to drop us a comment or, subscribe. Follow us on all the socials, but not Twitter. No point.
Look, we're going to abandon Twitter. I'm not getting positive feedback from Twitter.
It's because you're not on Twitter at all.
Yeah, but you're not on Twitter.
The few weeks that I do it, it doesn't happen. It's like, what's the point?
Oh,
yeah. We'll talk about this.
Oh yeah, don't go down the dumps.
What?
Yeah. Hang in there, mate.
Me? I'm fine.
You'll get there.
You'll be all right.
You're all right.
I'm fine.
You'll be okay.
I'm fine.
You'll be okay.
If anyone out there that's got Twitter, write a comment.
Yeah, follow us on Twitter. Please follow us on Twitter because then Paul will start.
Paul's in a dark place right
Twitter.com / Paul of Judy. I'm going to plug my own crap.
Apologies.
Yeah. Anyways. That's a bye from me.
Bye.
Enjoy Cabin in the Woods, guys. It's a bye from me.